Oh boy, you're so funny.
Well, it's true. I haven't taught for a while, but definitely, you know, God is at work within us to willing to do of His good pleasure. And the teachings that we have had over the years on these conference calls are just so wonderful and powerful and yet so simple at times. But it's the simple truths of God's Word that we build our foundation upon. And tonight I wanted to share some stuff about some of those simple truths, and you'll see what I mean as with teaching unfolds. But there's so much going on in this world right now that we live in that's causing many different levels of emotions and feelings. And one of the greatest things that I think I've seen functioning in our country over the last 3 or 4 years is fear. And I know that that's not God's will in our life. God does not want our hearts fearful for anything. And I'm not talking about the type of fear that one might feel like, you know, he's taking a nice little summer walk in the field of wildflowers and he hears something behind him, turns around and looks, and there's a bull staring straight at him, getting ready to charge. Now, that type of fear might make you run a little faster than you've ever ran before in your life. But that's not the type of fear I'm talking about. That's not a sudden fear that you have to protect yourself. That type of fear is fine. I'm not talking about that type of fear. I'm talking about the type of fear that shakes us to the deepest part of our hearts, that causes us to begin to doubt who we are and the power we carry as God's children. God does not want His people carrying fear like that in their hearts. Yet, in many places in God's Word, we see that many great men and women, some of God's strongest men and women, have dealt with the type of fear that could shake you to the very depths of who you are. I mean, think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You want to talk about fear. These guys faced a fiery furnace because they would not bow down and worship another god. And yet, as they were thrown in, God protected them. You know what? These accounts that we're going to refer to tonight and some reading we're going to do, this is not a story. This isn't a story, like a bedtime story. This is real life these men and women lived. How about Daniel in the lion's den? Again, he refused not to pray to his God. He refused to follow the carnal activities of the people that he was surrounded by, and yet God shut the lion's mouth. How about Esther? Man, you talk about a woman that had to have some courage. Esther knew that she could walk into that throne room uninvited and ask for a favor of the king, who was her husband, but she also knew there was a great chance that he would just have her head cut off because he had not invited her into the kingdom, into the throne room. And yet, to save her people, she did what God showed her to do. A Mary, there's another young woman who hears a message from an angel from God, and that message could have brought a lot of fear into her life because she was not married. Back in those days, pregnancy, under not being married, you get stoned. You die. That was one of the options. Or you're put to shame for the rest of your life. You know what? Mary heard what God's angel said. Mary trusted God. The circumstances that she had to deal with is not what she focused on. None of these people focused on the circumstances. They focused on the promises of God. And for us, in our day and time, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a war in the world we live in. There are Christians all over the place being persecuted right now. And that can build a great fear. The COVID-19, we've all seen the fear that that has tried to develop and grow in this country. But yet, as we as Christians have taken a stand to continue to trust God and look to God for our deliverance, see the power of God still at work. I want you to turn to Joshua. Now, Joshua was a great man of God, and he faced a lot of things coming up. Joshua chapter 1. He faced a lot of things taking the children over into the promised land that God had promised them. And remember, it was a time when Moses had died. Moses was gone. What a heavy heart those people must have had. And yet Joshua, this young man that God appointed, was given the new responsibility to lead God's people. Look at verse 8. This is the book of the law. This is what God's telling Joshua. This is the book of the law, and it shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. You think that could be a challenge? For when you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God's telling him, when you look and meditate upon the things that I have written, that I have given you, then you will have a prosperous way, and you will have good success. And then God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Go to Isaiah chapter 41. You know what? These promises we're reading right now are written specifically to Old Testament people, but they're also there for our learning. That's what God's Word says. We can look at some of these accounts and we can see how the people that walked before us, when they chose to walk with God and locked their hearts in with God's heart, God took care of them. And he did it comforting them too. Isaiah 41:10. He tells Isaiah, fear not. Fear not. God does not want his people fearing. For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I want you to remember, this is God's word that he gave to men to write down. This is what he wanted them to say. He will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The right hand of God is the righteousness of God. And this is the hand he chooses to use to uphold and help his people when they are in times of need. Go to Psalm chapter 46. There are so many verses like this in the Word, and you know, you can't go through every one of them, obviously, so I picked out a few, but I really want to encourage you to just open the book the next few days and go in there and look for some of these verses that we didn't read tonight about how God protects his people, how God does not want fear and dismay to be in our hearts. Because when we have fear and dismay, we don't have peace. And peace is what God really wants us to dwell in. Peace is something that God works within us to will in our hearts when we're focused and locked in on him. And then that peace calms the waters. That peace helps our heart stay focused and locked in with God. Psalm 46:10, and this is God, you guys, talking to us. Be still. Be quiet. Calm down, people. Now, I threw those words in there. The word says, be still and know that I am God. And you know what? That statement right there, when you meditate upon the Word of God, and meditating upon the Word of God is not just reading it. It's reading it and thinking about it. What is God saying to me? You, personally, how does this work in my heart and life, in my relationship with God? Because that's what we want. We want to have a strong, deep relationship with God. So when circumstances are thrown at us that we can't control, it doesn't knock us off the fence. It doesn't take us 6 to 8 weeks to get past something. We see it. We acknowledge, okay, this is a challenge. But we also know that God is there with us. And he tells us so plainly, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God is the one that is exalted in the earth. God is the one that is exalted. He is the highest power. There is none other greater than he. And God is ever present with us, always here. He never leaves us or forsakes us. It says in Romans chapter 8, nothing, now think of that word, nothing that comes against us, nothing, not one thing that comes against us can separate us from the love of God. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But we don't function as a comforter, and we don't accept some of that solution in our life if we're fearful and we're not at peace when things happen. I mean, you know, there are people that are dealing with health issues that are life-threatening, life-changing. And if they focus on the problem and they don't focus on the solution and who's going to deliver them and how God is going to deliver them, then the journey is much harder and it takes much longer. But knowing that God is always there, a help in a time of trouble, because we believe He is always present, because we know He is there for us, because we trust Him with everything we are, we can fear not. We can take the fear the adversary tries to throw at us, and we can slam it into the ground and not react to it. Because reacting to the fear kills the peace in our life. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Probably very familiar with this verse. Most of us are anyway. You know, God is, He's an amazing God. He's a faithful God. He is trustworthy. And He doesn't give us His word to play games with us. He gives us His word because His word is life. Power in the tongue. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. What comes out of the tongue are words. And if we speak the word of God to ourselves and to each other, that power multiplies. If we focus on it, if we hold on to it in spite of the circumstances, then the peace of God is so present in our life that the fear cannot stay there. 2 Timothy 1:7, God makes it very plain here. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear, not from God. So when you have this fearful thought or this fearful feeling rise up within you, you know immediately that is not God working. That is the adversary trying to discourage you and to take your direction of looking to God and the power and the love and the sound mind that God gives us. That's what God gives us. He's trying to distract us from those things to build more fear so we lose sight of who we are in Christ, the power of God that we carry, and most importantly, that God is there even if He has to pick us up and carry us through some of it. God does not leave us ever. He never walks away from us. Sometimes we make it a little harder for Him to help us because we focus on the things we shouldn't focus on. But the moment we grab our minds and get back to where we need our hearts to be, guess what? God is still right there. And then the steps pick up. You know, then the healing comes faster. Then the solution is always, it's just all of a sudden bright and right in front of you that you couldn't see before because of the fear or the feeling sorry for yourself. You know, that's a form of fear too. Looking at the problem. Oh, how can I go through this? Oh, how? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be holding you with the righteousness of my right hand. Look at Him. That's what we need to do when we start to feel the fear growing in our hearts, our lives, our minds, whatever place the devil tries to slip it in. Go to John 16. I love this verse. John 16:33. These things, this is Jesus Christ speaking, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. And isn't that the truth? I mean, most of us have lived long enough to have walked down this road a few times ourselves. Mm-hmm. In the world, you will have tribulations. But, mm-hmm. Be of good cheer. Now, how does that make sense? You know what? I don't know how that makes sense. All I know is that that's what God says, and God's a lot smarter than I am. So maybe I'll just be of good cheer. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. That's why we can be of good cheer. Because we focus on the things of God. We focus on that peace that brings understanding. We focus on that peace that calms us. You know, peace is the third fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 6:55. Love, joy, and peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. If you feel unpeaceful and you just don't know what to do, speak in tongues. Sit down somewhere quiet. Close your eyes. Speak in tongues. Know God's peace is filling your heart. It's a fruit of the Spirit. If you're speaking in tongues, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be there, no matter which piece of fruit it is, whatever the piece is you need. John 16:33, I'm going to read that again. These things I have spoken to you, this is Christ speaking, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. So don't be shocked when we get news that can throw us off course. When we get news, it's like, that makes me feel really bleh. Don't freak out. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have the victory living in us. The Christ in us, we have that victory. We have the peace of Jesus Christ in us. I'll tell you a really good study to look at in the Gospels is the word peace and Jesus Christ being used together. How much God talks about the peace of Jesus Christ, the situations that he's in when peace is brought to the surface. That, you know, he told the disciples on the night they were going to take him, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you, give I you. His peace is much different than the peace, quote unquote, the world looks for. Look at some of those verses. Look at him. Study his life, because he lives within us, and that's what's supposed to be coming forth out of us as we live our life, is that Christ in us, that example of him. So if you want to know how to be Christ-like, read the scriptures concerning Christ. Let God teach you and show you, even within the feelings of your heart and your relationship with God, what that feels like, and then live it. See, we may know a lot about the Bible. You can know 100,000 verses in the Bible if you want to. But if you don't live that way, what is the profit in your life? We want to be those living examples. We want to be the light of the world that God talks about in 1 John. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's in Romans 12. 1 John 4:4 is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have Christ in us, and greater is he that is in us, but we have to let that Christ shine forth. We have to be the lights of this world. Go to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to close these next two verses here and two sections here, and these are just so powerful. If you did nothing after the teaching tonight but to sit down and meditate, think through what God is telling us through these next two sections I'm going to read, your life would be amazing. Our lives would change. Be anxious for nothing. Wow. Okay, that's pretty simple. Be anxious. Don't get shook up. Don't get thrown off course. Don't get all creeped out for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that is a big key when you're trying to get peace in your life, is to praise God and be thankful no matter what the circumstances are. But it works. So that's why God tells us to do it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? God. Your next door neighbor? Nope. Your mama or daddy? Nope. Make your request known to God. And when you make your request known to God, look at the promise. and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You know what? Sitting there and thinking about something, freaking out about something, complaining about something, does not change anything. But when you make your request known unto God, the peace of God will surpass all that understanding that you're trying to find, and it will guard, the peace of God will guard, it guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. People, this is a very powerful verse, very, very powerful verse. God's peace guards our hearts when we allow His peace to flow through in any circumstances. We're going to close in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. This is another great verse. God, all of God's words are great verses, isn't it? The whole book's great verse, or accumulation of great verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule. Give it leadership. Let it rule. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in the innermost part of who you are. Not an emotional feeling, but in that part of you that makes the decisions, that makes life greater or not so great. That part of you. Let the peace, God's peace, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. We are all called to this one body of Christ. We are all called to walk Christ-like. That's our calling. And if we let the peace of God rule in our hearts, why we live the calling that we're called to in the one body, and be thankful. It is really hard to be thankful and miserable at the same time. And most of the time, misery will try to trump thankfulness. But God does not tell us here in this verse something we can't do. God says, and let. That means we have to take participation in this. God just doesn't take control and throw peace at us and all of a sudden it's automatic. We have to let the peace of God rule in our hearts and be thankful. And when we do that, we will see the power of God and the power of Christ that lives within us unleashed in our lives, and the circumstances that try to derail us will be derailed, not us. Because we know that He is God and He will take care of us, because it's the promises over and over from His word, and God is not a man that He should lie. God loves us, He is faithful and true, and we can trust Him with all our hearts. So Father, I thank You that we have You as our God, that You really truly do take care of us as we walk with You and we listen to the things You say. And Father, we do our best to follow through. And even when we fail, You're right there to pick us up and tell us again. Because there is nothing more powerful, no one, nothing more loving, nothing more forgiving and kind than You are. And You are our Father. And You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And we are so thankful that You can fill our hearts and lives with Your word as we go there daily. And we meditate and think upon the things that You share with us from the Scriptures. And then the things that, God, You work within us through the Spirit. And that You teach us every day. And You are just awesome. There is none greater. There is none kinder. There is none bigger. There is not a greater lover than You, Father. And we're so thankful to be Your children and thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's in His name we pray, Father. Amen.